coffee.org.
What do you mean you don't have any coffee?
You'll be glad you did.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and around the world at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Bonjour, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Cole Primo. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Gimiwan Dustin Burnett, the executive director of the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing collaboration and curriculum development among Ojibwe educators. Gimiwan discusses the critical work of the network, which fosters a stronger and more connected educational community. So he goes into detail on all of that and, of course, much more, including the path that led him to this vital work. We spoke with Gimiwan in August of 2024. Enjoy.
There's a lot of great books out there for Ojibwe students, bilingual books with Ojibwe inclusion, books about who we are as a people, but it's really difficult to find monolingual Ojibwe written books meant for children. So we've had this need for more development of early literature for our students. And producing a book takes time and money.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Cole Primo. Miigwech for joining us today. Native Lights is more than a podcast and radio show. It's, at its core, a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. I'm talking musicians, artists, community leaders, doctors, healthcare advocates, language warriors, you name it. We have a wonderful mixture of passions joining us on the show, and we talk with our guests about their gifts and how they share those gifts with the community and centering around finding purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices. So how you doing, Leah? We're back at it again.
Yeah, I'm doing well. I'm excited to get back into the swing of things.
No, I hear you. It's really great to get back into it. Hear from the community, to hear from these amazing people doing amazing work. So let's rock. Let's do it.
All right. Well, this week I'm very excited to speak with Gimiwan Dustin Burnett. Gimiwan's family is from the Leech Lake Band of Ojibwe. He's an educator and a nonprofit entrepreneur, and he's committed to revitalizing the Ojibwe language. So Gimiwan has worked in Ojibwe language immersion schools across Minnesota and Wisconsin, and he's the executive director of the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network. So really excited to talk with him. Mm-hmm. And they have some books coming out, some Ojibwe language books for some of our young learners. So I'm really excited to talk more about those with him.
All right. And here he is.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Bonjour, Gimiwan. Could you please introduce yourself and just tell us where you're joining us from and all that good stuff?
Absolutely. I'm Gimiwan, aka Dustin Burnett, joining you from my home office here in Hayward, Wisconsin.
Great. Could you talk just a little bit about how you're doing? How's the family? How's it going?
Busy. We're back to the real world. Wife went back to in-service, and I've got my kids here at home while I work all my jobs. So another week and a half of that excitement, and then I'll get to relax a little bit.
So you were in a not real world at some point. So what does that mean?
I was on my honeymoon. We get a 10-week honeymoon every summer when my...
Congratulations.
Well, we got married about 10 years ago. my wife gets a summer vacation. She's a teacher, so...
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We get 10 weeks every summer where my wife's at home and kids are home and everything's real chill and everybody's here with me. So, but now with her back to work, it's back to the grind of dadding and working full time.
Well, give me one. We like to start out our conversations by asking, what are you thinking about these days? Is there something that you're kind of excited about or thinking about?
Our language. That's the only thing I think about. There is no outside of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to be one of the people who say that, but There's no slowing down or stopping with our revitalization efforts until we really hit home, and we're a generation out on that. So, I mean, I'm excited about all of our endeavors at the nonprofit. I'm excited about all of our network partners and the work they're doing and our budding and growing relationships and programs.
Well, I'll just pop in and say, I'm really looking forward to seeing the Ojibwe dub of Star Wars. I hear that it's coming to town the very end of August, I think August 30th.
Yep, Friday, August 30th, Marcus Theaters.
Yep, are you going?
I don't have my tickets yet, but I'm pretty sure I can sneak into one of them.
Don't sneak in too much.
I was just talking to some people up in Redcliffe who are in their language trainee program, and they're going on the 30th as almost a work retreat, like a team building activity. So I thought that was pretty neat. I'll probably hop in with them and go check it out.
I told Cole right away, I said, get your tickets. I didn't hear nothing back, so.
I'm a procrastinator of the highest order, but yeah, that's awesome. But yeah, you mentioned MEAN. Let's get into it. Could you talk about the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network?
MEAN was actually the brainchild of our mutual friend, Bobito Igijagukwe, Melissa Boyd. She called me back in like 2018 and kind of laid out an idea of a third party organization trying to assist immersion organizations. She asked me to be on the board and I said no. And she said, why not? And I said, because I couldn't watch somebody do work that exciting and not be directly involved in it. I actually bugged her for years about it. It was an idea she had for her Bush Fellowship application. She ended up switching her focus for that, and I'd kept planning it for years. And then finally, during COVID, when things slowed down for a lot of us and we were sent home and I wanted to hide from reality, I dug deep into my passion project, which was seeing if we couldn't find a way to help all the individuals grinding day in and day out in our immersion organizations, trying to create their own curriculum and write their own books and be full-time parents and educators while going back to school to get their teaching license and everything else above, underneath, and in between, right? So that's really where the idea from MEAN came from. It was a mixture of Bobito's great idea. I spent over a decade in immersion schools between Igane over in Leech Lake, Wadu Kudading over in Lakuture. Yeah, it was just something that was desperately needed. And I hope and I feel like we're doing a fine job trying to reach out and help facilitate collaboration and help to empower these organizations with new and more materials and professional development, et cetera.
Is the organization based out of Brainerd?
We're a Minnesota-based nonprofit. Let's see, our registered office is in Duluth. I happen to live in Hayward, Wisconsin. So I moved out here back in 2011 to work with the crew out at Wadu Kudading here in LCO, and then end up, you know, starting a family here and getting a couple mortgages. So here I am. But the majority of our programs are located in Minnesota. So we wanted to incorporate there, knowing that the majority of our work would be happening over there.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Gimiwan Dustin Burnett, the Executive Director of the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing collaboration and curriculum development among Ojibwe educators.
Can you say a little bit about one project that you're working on that maybe we could get more into?
One of the things I really enjoy is trying to provide assistance to classroom staff in our immersion organizations. I was lucky enough to spend a number of years teaching inside our first two organizations, our two flagship organizations for the field, Nigani and Wadu Kudading, and I worked with a lot of the professionals who really started the immersion movement up here in Ojibwe country, and I was super blessed to have done so. But I also saw a lot of professionals come in after the fact and have to struggle through finding a way to become a speaker of Ojibwemoan and to become an educator at the same time and find a way to harness their passion and help it grow into being a good educator, right? Most of them were absolutely successful, but a lot of people really lost time with their own families to help other families grow, and lost time with their own self-care to help the organizations grow, you know. And so one thing we love to do is try to find avenues through which we can help those people really with their nose to the grinder, kind of take a step back and take a fresh breath there. So, you know, we do a needs assessment every year of our classroom staff. Every year they come back with the same answer, right? Their top two needs are more books, more development of literature for our students inside of the immersion organizations, and more access to first language speakers. So, you know, as most of us know, working inside of the field or in Ojibwe country, right, we're running low on first language speakers here in the U.S. We're down to less than 100, and not all of them want to be, are prepared to be, or are working inside of the field. So all of these young professionals are desperately seeking help from first language speakers. Anyway, so that's where we come into play. We've been developing more books, right? We have a partnership with Learner Publishing in Minneapolis. They have 7,000 books currently in print K through 12, and they open the catalog for us to translate. They'll print and ship for us. Working with Unite for Literacy recently, trying to get any of the books they'd produced for Locutore printed out and distributed. Just finding ways to help populate the classrooms with the materials they need. And on the professional development side, you know, we offer twice a year, working towards quarterly professional developments specific to the needs of our immersion practitioners. So, you know, a general educator will go into their in-service before school starts and get all kinds of PD about all kinds of different aspects of reporting and CPR and new practices for development of literature, but never will it be the case that you walk into a public district and get a professional development targeted at Indigenous immersion pedagogy, right? So to be able to offer that to our staff in a kind of a holistic, all-encompassing in-person Zoom hybrid capacity saves everybody time, it saves everybody money, and it gives opportunity that, you know, we may not have had before to put in place. Similarly, we have been working with several first language speakers to offer a weekly stop-in where educators can come in the afternoon or evening and work with the first language speaker, whether it's to develop vocabulary, develop a relationship, or you know, try to figure out translation for a book that they're just dying to read to their kids. So, like I said, we have a lot of arms and we're reaching out in a lot of different directions, but the main target at the end of the day is trying to assist the people doing the actual work, right? The people working out in our immersion organizations and our language organizations inside of our tribes and communities. And that's what we're passionate about.
Mm-hmm. See, I want to get to the books, but I heard you say Indigenous immersion pedagogy, and it got me thinking, what is something unique about Indigenous immersion pedagogy? What pops out at you is something that's like surprising?
I was thinking about this yesterday, maybe the day before. I was thinking about our curriculum and why we make choices we make about the books, actually, that we wrote with learners. Somebody had asked us why those exact books. And I was trying to explain to them why we picked books about fall, what animals do in fall, what trees do in fall, what kids do in fall, going back to school and whatnot. Lesser known fact about our Ojibwe immersion programs is that it's not just language that students get immersed in, but also cultural ideals, right? So generally when a student goes to an Indigenous language immersion school, they're not just receiving generalized Western or normalized community education through the medium of the second language, but they're also being immersed in a hybrid curriculum that's also considering what's going on with the people of that area, right? So for us, you know, our students come in whatever grade they come in into the fall, and right away they're jumping right into racing. You know, our kindergartners first day in immersion are walking in and maybe not catching a word their teacher's saying and having disconnect issues from their parents and being, you know, marched down to watch people parch race. When I think of Indigenous pedagogy, that's a big aspect of it, is what is it that we're doing inside of the organization curricularly or scaffolding wise that really is representative of who we are as a people and who we are in our community.
Nice, nice. All right, well, let's get into the language books. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, so the books, when we do needs assessments for our classroom staff and the different organizations in our network, they always identify a need for more books, more Ojibwe medium monolingual books. Now, there's a lot of great books out there for Ojibwe students, bilingual books with Ojibwe inclusion, books about who we are as a people, but it's really difficult to find monolingual Ojibwe written books meant for children. We've had some attempts that turned out great, right? Like the Anjibwe Modizing books. In fact, I think I got to work with your dad on a couple of stories for the Anjibwe Modizing books. So those turned out wonderful. But realistically, with the level of vocabulary our first language speakers were using, they weren't as easily usable in a kindergarten or first or second grade setting, right? So we've had this need for more development of early literature for our students. And producing a book takes time and money. You know, we want to pay people what they're worth. We want to have Indigenous and Ojibwe representation in everything we do, right? So what's it worth to have a good speaker write a book for you? What's it worth to have a great artist from our communities do 16 full spreads for you, right? Then we need to hire a graphic designer and put a copyright on it, print it, send it, ship it, right? And it takes time and it takes a lot of money for a single book. So at Mean, we were thinking, how can we maybe change our approach to building books to make sure we can get them into the classrooms now when they need them? We're kind of trying to reimagine some new processes. When we met a new friend over at Adopt a Classroom, their executive director, Ann Pfeiffer, and she got us in contact with Learner Books out of Minneapolis. Learner had a proposed solution for us, something they'd already done with the Hmong community down in the Twin Cities area, is that they would open their catalog for us and we could translate books, right? So we'd offer them translations for books they already had in print and had the copyright for. And all that would need to happen is a quick redesign inside of their host files. And then we could get books a lot faster that way, right? We could cut out the majority of the process and just focus on inserting a story that matched the imagery and was closer to how we wanted to say what they were saying in English in Ojibwe. The process is new. We just started this year. It was a lot more involved than I thought it would be. Learner's been a great partner. I didn't know that partnering with them would come with a whole bunch of marketing and advertisement and patience, right? But it's definitely saved us a lot of time and money, right? And to quantify it, you know, I think we generally spend to make a kindergarten book several thousand dollars, right? If we're paying everybody what they're worth, it's going to cost $3,000 to $4,000 to get a good quality book with the right images and design and everything else. And for that price, you pick up 20 copies of each of the 16 books we did. So one for each of your classrooms and all your kindergartens to take home. And I thought that was a really cool way to think about quantifying how useful that partnership has been financially for our programs.
Give me one. Can you tell us a bit about the catalog of books that you have available? Just kind of like a breakdown of what you have.
So many options that are really exciting. Like I said, they have books available K through 12 and thousands of them. I just reached out to their editor last week and asked about looking at new titles for the fall to start working on for a release next spring. You know, it'd be great to move beyond kindergarten, first grade. Now that we've identified, you know, Learner is not our only partnership. So we're developing books and finding access to more literature in other ways as well. So we've been able to identify over 200 books for kindergartners now that can be printed, purchased, already bound, taken care of, and ready for the classroom, which is great. You know, when I was a kindergarten teacher in immersion, I had about five. So having 200 to 300 is going to be a huge boon for a lot of the classrooms. So I was thinking we could definitely expand into older grades, second through fourth grade specifically. You know, we can do books on sports teams. We can do a graphic novel about hockey players, and we can explore planets, right? Or so many different options, right? It's not just expository texts like I was just identifying, but so many fiction books too. We're yet to have our first Ojibwe chapter book, that's meant for an elementary school student as an emergent reader, you know. And that's a cool thing about a partnership with a publisher like this, is it really does open the door to big opportunities that would otherwise take us a couple more decades to reach. So I'm excited to see, you know, what we decide for this year and how far we can expand the partnership.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Gimiwan Dustin Burnett, the executive director of the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network, a nonprofit organization dedicated to enhancing collaboration and curriculum development among Ojibwe educators.
It's just refreshing to see your passion when it comes to language revitalization. Like, what set you on the path that you're on? Like, what inspired you to do this?
Oh, man, Sean Farlander. So he's a Mille Lacker himself. I grew up in Cass Lake, whole life, born and raised. It was all around me. And of course, as a kid, you never see it. You never appreciate it. You don't know it's there. And, you know, I lost my mom as a teenager and kind of started straying off the beaten path and stopped going to school. And then Sean Farlander came along. She's a... I know he had to be mid to late 30s at the time. He's a pretty well-known guy in ceremony and language circles, even though he didn't speak a word of Ojibwe without mispronouncing it, you know. But great guy, got me back in school, forged my name on an application to college, got me set up with a full ride in the Future Indian Teachers Grant, and introduced me to my friend Anton Torriwagos, right? And between the two of them, they got me set up going to and then helping in ceremonies. You know, after a few years, 2 or 3 years helping out in ceremonies, became quickly evident to me that no matter how badly I wanted to help and no matter how much I showed up and no matter how young my legs were at the time, my ability to help was capped until I could speak Ojibwe. So I realized pretty quickly that the help the community really needed, and that community specifically, was more people able to carry the load of speaking and facilitating ceremonies. Now, not saying I want to be facilitating ceremonies. That's not at all what I'm saying. But, you know, it's something that really ignited a passion in me to take the next step and stop talking about it and start being about it when it came to our language. That was the big one, seeing the need at ceremony. It was the only way to propel me into what I'm doing now. One of the things we do at MEAN is we look at educational data surrounding Ojibwe language education, which is really exciting. Something that's been devastatingly absent from our field since its conception, right? There's not enough out there to really tell us what we can be doing differently. But when we look at any second language speaker in our region, you know, a really highly competent, productive speaker can work with first language speakers, is highly productive second language learner. Pretty sure that when we gather the data and look at it closely, we're going to identify that no one's done it unless they've done it as a full-time job. This hasn't happened by mistake or as a hobby. It's always somebody's full-time gig in one capacity or another that gets them to the point of being able to actually work inside of the language on a full-time basis, and not just work professionally or full-time 40 hours, but to function in Ojibwe.
That's really hopeful. Is there any signs of hope that you have, Gimiwan, around language learning and seeing a future with more people speaking Ojibwemun?
We need to build more second language speakers. I mean, so to build a first language speaker, and you're probably asking the wrong guy, see if I get this right. To build a first language speaker, right, we need to build that individual not only a home in which, you know, the only language they're hearing or the primary language they're hearing and interacting with and observing is Ojibwemoan, but then we need to build a correlating community in which that individual can grow, in which Ojibwemoan is the only language they're interacting with, right? So we really need a community of several learners. And there's some great efforts going on right now that are building toward that, right? You've got like Gukumisinanage Dawad over in Fond du Lac, which Uga's put a lot of work into. You've got a lot of students of immersion schools throughout the region, whether in Wisconsin or Minnesota, whose parents have really invested in trying to offer them exactly that. the truth is that us as Ojibwe are massively spread out between Michigan all the way to North Dakota, up through Ontario and Manitoba. There are so many communities of people wanting this, and so few of us who are actually, and when I say us, you know, I don't mean me personally, but so few number of families trying to do this that it's hard to get them all in one place to build this community. So I guess the real goal is, like we're talking about with revitalization, we need to build enough adult learners to build enough communities where that would actually be an option for our kids or our grandkids eventually, where they can be inside of a space where not only is it completely comfortable and present interactions with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, uncle, auntie, everybody else, but that the people around us are doing it too. We've had incredible growth the past 20 years. Woli, Wadu Kudading Ojibwe Language Institute, started in 1999, right? So when we imagine the relative infancy of our immersion movement inside of the region, I mean, we're 25 years old, and we've grown to have, you know, 15, 20 programs over that time spread out through our communities. We have 3 new immersion programs starting this year. Bayfield Immersion starting up in Bayfield, Wisconsin. We have the Wange reopening in Fond du Lac, and I believe Minnesinaukwong is starting an immersion option for their incoming students as well. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure I saw a posting for it the other day. I'm pretty sure it's who it came from. But, you know, the understanding of the need, the investment in the need, and, you know, the follow through on development is really happening, right? And so I think one of the big things we're missing right now, and that is really relevant to everybody involved, is the people to do it. It's kind of like we have a whole bunch of softball fields over by the powwow grounds, but we only got 5 people who want to toss the ball around, you know? And it's not because people don't want to, but it's because, like we talked about, we need to invest in offering full-time work experiences for individuals to grow, so that we can build people who can speak, so that we can build the people that need to be in the classroom, so that we can educate our students, so that they can be those parents in those communities we talk about who have the option and have the tools coming out of their childhood to perform just through the medium of Ojibwe. So that's a big need a lot of us are identifying now and really working toward, is how do we build the adult population to handle the capacity of the need for these kinds of programs in our communities. You know, and also don't forget, check out our website, www.meanojibwe.org. We have an adult learning section with a host of incredible materials that we tried to identify for everybody.
All right. Gimewan Dustin Burnett, Executive Director of the Midwest Indigenous Immersion Network. Very inspiring. Love to hear the language work out there and the availability of new books. You know, that's probably more my level, the kindergarten, first grade Ojibwe level. Maybe, if I'm lucky.
Yeah, I mean, what a great way to like highlight, you know, the language and just get it out there. I mean, that's awesome. So miigwech to our guest, Gimewan Dustin Burnett. I'm Cole Primo.
And I'm Leah Lem. Miigwech for listening.
Gigawabamin.
Gigawabamin. You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and AMPRS with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
The Parkway Theater will be rolling with Bruce Coburn for 2 big shows, Monday, May 5th and Tuesday, May 6th. After 13 Juno Awards, a SOCAN Lifetime Achievement Award, induction into the Canadian Music Hall of Fame, and a multitude of other awards, Bruce Coburn is back with his 38th album, O Sun, O Moon. Famous for his heart-on-the-sleeve honesty, Bruce Coburn never stands pat and never gives up. And O Sun, O Moon is destined to go down as another Coburn classic. Tickets for Bruce Coburn can be found at the Parkway Theater's website. Visit theparkwaytheater.com for more details. And it's a great day for this KFAI Spring Member Drive Classic. The sign comes in, And they're calling for a donation. Here's the windup and the pitch.
Go to KFAI.org and click donate. Support the great radio you love.